Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, Season 6, Episode 144. Let's start another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Coller, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Coller from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Okay, we got the three of us together. This is awesome. Folks, you haven't heard it, but we've just been chit-chatting for like the first 10 minutes, just kind of catching up, because I don't think we've actually talked together.
Like, no, as a group, and you guys have been flying all over the place. You've been...
It's been an adventure.
You know, let's talk about what's happening. And I'm going to start off with saying I've had more travel and flight cancellations in the past 2 months than I have in the previous 2 to 3 years, probably even extending beyond that. Like, I can't, you know, that whole COVID time just kind of gets blocked out of no travel. But I can't believe how many flight cancellations and stuff I've had to juggle with lately. It's Sandy, your flights looked really nice and comfortable and long.
Well, they were, but we dealt with flight cancellations as well. I think our flight was changed 7 or 8 times from the time we booked it to the time we took off. I don't know, but yeah, we had an awesome flight to Scotland. But where have you been? And I'll catch up. You finish yours.
Well, I haven't been to Scotland. not recently.
Well, it was.
I would love to head there. Although I am having flight problems. I have to find flights to Marrakesh.
Poor Marrakesh. Troy.
Are you going on an archaeological dig? What are you?
I'm very excited. I'm going to stay a few days extra. It'll be a fun event.
Awesome.
I don't know. I've done some bigger productions, worked with some great people again, a lot of great end clients. We have, I don't know, a number of PowerPoint template projects. We're doing PowerPoint design, you know, slide design work, but the number of template projects in right now is almost zany, and they're fun. I mean, you know, princesses of a certain company and all over a lot of fun properties, but they're, you know, they're just really, really good. We are also the preferred vendor. We just got accepted as, or I don't know if accepted's a word, we just got set up as a preferred vendor for all the executive presentation design for, I'll just say, a very large
onboarded.
So anyways, you know, that's, and those are great ones, but you know, we don't have an actual schedule because we're so new. We don't know like when are the board of directors meetings are, when are the analyst meetings, you know, we kind of get into that flow and we know when to expect things from the executive team. This one's kind of like they're like, hey, you're onboarded. You're set to go. Hey, we're looking to have a project for you next week, which is this week. We're like, wow. Okay. That happened fast. So anyways, that's very exciting. Basically, it's a busy world in the world of presentation. Okay. How about you guys? Because Sandy, your travel's been a lot more fun.
Yeah. I want to hear about Sandy's travels.
Okay. Okay.
Well, okay. So how long have I been talking about this wedding? The good news is my daughter's wedding to this amazing young man from London happened. You know,
nobody objected.
Who knew that we'd be able to get maybe 15 Americans to this wedding? Oh, that of the original, I don't know how many were invited, but it was a fairy tale. Just to tell you.
Just folks, the pictures, if you haven't seen them, it was a fairy tale.
That's amazing.
I mean, do you admit that she had like a full royal tiara going there?
Oh, no, she had a crown.
Oh, it's a crown. See, I was trying to be humble, but it was massive. It was amazing.
It was beautiful. She looked like the queen. Well, no, a kindergartner of a friend of mine that was there, she was showing kids, her kindergartners, photos of the wedding. And the little kindergartner said, I can't believe Elsa got married.
Oh, that's beyond awesome.
I mean, yeah.
That is adorable. Yeah.
It just was. Lauren wore her grandmother's dress, which her grandmother is 5'1" and Lauren's 5'9". So there was a little work that had to be done. No, the whole crown thing, it was based on our Scandinavian heritage, where if you look at if you look at wedding photos of a Scandinavian crown, a Norwegian or a Swedish crown, that's what was worn.
She fit it perfect. Unbelievable.
She fit it perfectly. Yeah, it was amazing. Walked down to the aisle to the theme from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, the photos were great. So your daughter Elsa got married.
My daughter Elsa was actually, yes, exactly. Her matron of honor is Anna. Seriously, my daughter is Anna. That's her name.
That's true. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But anyway, so I was going to, from a work standpoint, I've been working on social media posts for a client. And I'm going to have to tell you, I don't enjoy it. but I'm doing it for this one-time financial service. I'm a long-term client, a one-time project. But what makes it easy is I can just use PowerPoint. I can design the proper ratio and everything. And then I use Bright Slides Export Selected Images option. And that allows me to select the image format I want, the size and the scale before exporting. So I know that I'm delivering a quality image from PowerPoint.
So you're exporting the whole slide, right? The composed slide?
Yep.
And then
the whole composed slide.
Mm-hmm. And I've got to use that because I've done something similar where I've had templates set up and it's great. We've created them for clients where they can just fill in the text and the image and then export. But I had an issue semi-recently where I would save it out and it would save like an extra pixel on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And
then I have to
like go in and Photoshop and take it out. So maybe the bright slide gets around that. But yeah,
you know, I haven't had any problem. I proportionately double the size. That was a trick that Julie Turberg taught me just to make sure resolution wise it shows up well in people's feeds. So anyway, I just think that's something I didn't bring on Bright Slide for in the first place, but it's an excellent tool to use. Hmm. And like Troy, I'm working on templates. I'm doing tons of sales presentations and I have an executive town hall meeting coming up. Everything's fun. Everything's great. Glad to be back at work. Nolan, how about you?
Templates as well. I'm training a client, or just finished a whole week of trainings on a template we designed for them. It seemed like years ago. It was just last year, but it's a project that never dies. And they, you know, so they took it for months and months, and then they're like, "All right, let's do some training on it. Here's the file." And as I'm going through it and training, I'm seeing things. First of all, that they put in that are kind of mistakes or not you know, generally the way you should do it. But then I'm also finding things that I did, it was so long ago that I was like, oh, I should have done that better. Oh, I should have done that. Or that doesn't quite work there. And this is all just to say, if you do templates, I feel like it's never going to be perfect. You're always going to find something. Right. You're always making a concession. You're always like having to make decisions. Let's do it this way or this way. And anyway, so
that's right.
It's just, and then on top of that, I'm putting together my sessions for Creative Pros, the Design and PowerPoint Summit. I'm doing one on how to design without bullet points, which is interesting because it's like sort of one of the first sessions I've done where I'm just doing a whole lot of demoing of like create my creative process. And it's interesting. I don't usually sort of show people sort of like underneath the kimono, like how I work and everything. But, you know, I'm showing the tools that I use. And in just like in just this one session, I think I use 4 or 5 different Bright Slide tools without even thinking about it. It's like, oh, I just need to do this. So I'm going to use Bright Slide, but I have to explain to people, you know, what I'm doing. So I'm doing that, but I'm also doing a session on templates, on template hacks, which I've never actually done. Echo is doing another session on templates, and I always feel like everything I say, I just like, yeah, but ask Echo, should you know, or I learned this from Echo.
I learned
from Julie. Yeah,
it's on page 2 of their book. It's
basically that's like my first. Yeah. My first tip is buy this book, and
there you go, you're covered.
And a template for a theater building company, like they consult on when people are building new theaters and event spaces, which is neat and kind of like a little tie into my past life. And then the very exciting project I'm doing, I know you're very jealous of this. I am designing coupons for update. I've done this before, new coupons for a nail fungus medicine. So when you're at the pharmacy.
Try not to laugh out loud while you were talking. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
When you're at the pharmacy taking that coupon because you've got a nail fungus problem, you're welcome. That's our design crew hard at work. Yes, there you go. I wasn't saying you specifically, Sandy. All right, can we get into more presentation?
I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing. Moving over to news. Okay, on the news front, I actually have a really cool one here because I read this article and then I had to reread it to figure out what the title of the article, the storyline meant. It's Google Slides joins the 1 billion installs club on the Google App Store, so the Play Store. Google Slides joins apps like Telegram, which was one I wasn't familiar with, YouTube Music, and PowerPoint, Microsoft PowerPoint. By the way, it also lists that PowerPoint reached the 1 billion downloads about 2 years ago. Slides is catching up, but it doesn't say where PowerPoint is now. But anyways, it's pretty impressive that there's over 1 billion installs of Google Slides.
Cameo for PowerPoint. This is actually big news.
So exciting.
So for a while, and you guys are going to back me up on this. I feel like you might even know this more than I do. But in Teams, Microsoft Teams last year, PowerPoint introduced a feature that I think, did they call it news broadcast or Cameo or
the Weatherman?
Weatherman, something.
Yeah, I know the data names.
It allowed you to put yourself over your slides, and now it's finally come to, or a version of it has come to PowerPoint for the desktop. Only on the PC right now, but it'll be on the Mac. We're sure at some point soon. And it allows you to basically just put in a shape. It can be in a circle, a square. It can actually, I think, be in any shape. And it'll take a live feed from your camera. You just place it over a slide, and you can put it in the master, right? Or you can put it on a slide. You could have it just be on one slide. It even works with morph, so you could like go from one side of the page to the other. You can use that on every slide, or you know, just a couple.
Actually, there's a really important note on that, Nolan, in that this is the only element, because you can't play a video across. Well, okay, you can play video across slides, but there's a lot of limitations. But this one, you can morph yourself, and the camera stays live. So if you're waving, it doesn't freeze and go to the end of the transition. It does a really, really good job.
But it's taking your live video feed from your webcam. And there are some limitations. I'm not sure it works with virtual cameras yet.
Right. It doesn't work with virtual cameras.
And it doesn't at this point green screen you. It doesn't have that. So,
That's one of the more confusing things. I think Microsoft has to suss out. The Cameo feature is an object, and it doesn't have a green screen, virtual, or any other type. It's always a solid background. You can do a lot of things with it. You can pre-position it. I think it's going to be phenomenal because we do whole projects where we map out where the person's going to be and they put it in post, or it's a green screen effect going over. Now you can do it all embedded, and it doesn't have to be your webcam. I've already run a test environment where we run our full professional cameras into an HDMI capture system. So we're getting professional camera work on the slides. Anyways, we should probably save this one for a whole conversation.
Yeah,
but it's a very exciting, really excited about this feature.
And you know what? I'm going to give myself a little pat on the back because wasn't one of my predictions for this year that the features for Teams were going to make it into the desktop version?
I think you did.
I know I did.
So, Nolan, all that clapping happening in the background here. There it is, all clapping for Nolan's prediction. So that's,
the only thing I don't like about the PowerPoint version is you can't do the Weatherman thing.
You can't, it doesn't green screen you.
Right. You have the shape. You don't have the outline. You're not isolated.
My theory.
I know.
It's a first generation one. Yeah, exactly.
I'll take it. It works really, really well. I love it. In other news, this story was everywhere last week, and I remember something like it happening 7 or 8 years ago, but there in January, there is a big malicious virus spread through PowerPoint.
Yeah.
And specifically the .ppam, which is PowerPoint's file name with macros embedded, right? Did I say AM? Did I say that right?
Yeah, it's macros. Oh. I don't know what the A stands for, but it stands for macros.
Exactly. Okay, so what's happening is the hackers, the bad guys, they hide the malicious files inside a macro wrapper. And there's been a wave of computer takeover attacks. So, it's bad news. I've been fine. I haven't seen anything, but have either of you?
I haven't seen anything. I haven't heard of anything. I feel like these things come out every few years. But I never quite, it means you would have to launch that PPAM file, right?
Yes, you would have to double click on the attachment, open it, so and
obviously, just like anything, you shouldn't be opening. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in the show notes, we'll have the article that you referenced there, Sandy. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the articles from that I'm referencing is ZDNet.
Yeah, I think they had a good summary of it. There's so many, you just look up, I mean, it's all over the news, but I'm not sure this one is a coincidence because I have an article from MSN, and Microsoft has been in the news in recent days with the news of 5 core Office apps. So this is kind of interesting, though, because the 5 core Office apps, it's like, oh, you know, it's going to be Office. Outlook mm-hmm. isn't one of them. It's PPT, Word, Excel, Access, and Visio. So I guess those are considered core Office apps in some world. they now have internet-based macros, which is a PPAM file. If it came through your email example and you open it up as an email, they've been disabled by default. So I know a lot of the add-in developers are like, hey, we use that type to mm-hmm. distribute our information to, you know, our corporate employees for their use. And so Microsoft made a change where some macros have been disabled by default so that this virus can't get out. I'm thinking these two must directly correlate because they're both within the last week. So this is literally the malicious software computer attacks that you just talked about, Sandy, are, I think, Microsoft's trying to prevent them by just saying, we'll just turn it off. I think you can still enable it.
Yes.
Well, look how they got rid of, Microsoft got rid of,
EPS?
EPS mm-hmm. files, and they're mm-hmm. not coming back. I mean, it's no. because of that very reason. So they might hold tight on the macro thing.
So there are some bad things happening out there. Be careful what you open up. I think most of them, as I was reading through the articles, are, you know, email attachments, that you have to open up, and it's a PPAM file. Just don't open it if it's emailed to you from somebody you don't know. Okay, on to our topic. Being in business for yourself, well, it costs money. There are expenses. There are things to buy. There are things to subscribe to. Apparently, you learn how to talk about those things too. And you just have to have these things to be in business. Today, we're listing off the many expenses we have to plan for to run our businesses. Of course, the more exciting conversation is about the money to be made and being in business for yourself. We're not going to talk about that today. It's all about focusing on those things that are often not thought about, the costs of being a presentation designer.
Let me kick this off. In the past, we've discussed the differences between being an independent freelancer, running a small business, and also a larger business. And there are going to be, as I guess it wouldn't surprise anyone that there are going to be different expenses for each, but let's start by just looking at the cost of being a presentation business entity. What do you have to pay for, Troy?
Well, for us, 11 employees and a physical building, we have things like incorporation fees and taxes and a tax accountant, the building, you know, the utilities, the phone service, the internet service, the payroll processing, the payroll taxes, the building alarm system, insurance, lots and lots of insurances, business liability, healthcare, workers' comp, errors and omissions. It just seems like there's a lot of those. Oh, here's one I don't believe that either of you will have, because here in California, we have an office building. California has, we have two things. One, we have earthquake insurance, which is a state-funded insurance only.
But that's a separate bill you have to write?
Totally separate. And it covers only in case of an earthquake, because every insurance policy says, you know, acts of God, specifically earthquakes in California, are not covered. And then the second thing is we have an earthquake preparedness kit. So basically, it's a survival bin of all the essentials for X number of people that we update every couple of years.
We do not have that. No.
But anyways, yeah, there are a lot of expenses. And, you know, the bigger the company, the more those things add up. Nolan, what about you?
I think you covered most of the big expenses. I'm starting to pull together my 2021 information for my accountant. He always gives us this nice helpful planner document to categorize everything. And, you know, he falls under, for example, legal and professional fees. Mm-hmm. I've had him as my accountant for probably 20 years, and I don't have a lawyer on I don't have a regular lawyer. I should say I don't have a lawyer. I have a father who is a lawyer. So he will help me with contracts now and then when I need it.
What about how about payroll? Because everybody's payroll.
I handle that all myself, but you've got a bookkeeper, right, Sandy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a bookkeeper that does my payroll for my one employee. Exactly the same. My bookkeeper works with my QuickBooks Online, ends up doing everything from reconciling my checkbook. They don't write checks, but they reconcile my business checkbook, the little bit I write checks these days. And they process billing reports. I do the actual billing. They prepare my books for the tax accountant. So, Nolan, unlike you who are doing this, I would mess something up.
I mess stuff up all the time. But the only checks I write anymore are for my taxes, actually, even though I think I can probably do that electronically now. All my freelancers and subcontractors, everything, I generally pay through Zelle, which is one of the many, I guess, or some people like Venmo, but yes. I like Zelle. Mm-hmm. So it all
it's all electronic.
And I'm still getting paid. I don't know what the percentage is. Maybe like 2/3 of my clients are ACH sort of electronic payments, and
I'd
the other third still
here.
get mm-hmm, old fashioned mm-hmm. checks, which is kind of nice. I don't know. Kind of I like seeing that piece of paper every once in a while.
Yeah, I know. Well, I should say I also have Chloe is an account executive. She does account executive kind of interaction. She takes on new business. She manages all the new projects as they come in. She is a project manager in the sense that she puts together all my timelines, does help me with the billing, getting that going and everything. So I don't have staff, but I have regular subcontractor kind of expenses.
We'd mentioned insurance, which we all carry, right? I have business insurance, which includes errors and omissions and liability and stuff like that. But have you ever had to use it? I've never actually had to call it in.
No, I haven't. Thank goodness.
Yeah, good.
I believe we have paid in for as long as we've been a company and never used it to my knowledge. But early in our career, Lori and I were completely traumatized being a part of a printing company that was sued because a huge, massive print run included a typo. And it was in the medical warnings paperwork for an over-the-counter purchasable drug. And I mean, tens of thousands of pill bottles were distributed across the country. It was the client's responsibility for proofreading, and the client had signed off on all the final proofs, but somehow the printer that we worked for was sued and, literally sued to the maximum of their business insurance. So this is somebody that said, hey, we know what we can get out of this. Specifically, they had errors and omissions policy, and that was the reason that company stayed in business. Scary, traumatized, and we have always had business insurances to avoid that type of scenario or protect us from it. So
never had to call it in?
No, Nolan, I don't think we've ever paid for it. But I don't think we will ever not have all of the, I mean, we have a lot of insurances and we've had to have them for corporate clients of extremely.
Right. Some clients require it and require proof of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when it was just Lori and I, so years ago, we were carrying like $10 million of not errors and omissions. Cause
that's a lot.
I mean, it was like crazy amounts of volume, but we needed
it.
Oh my
goodness.
Because that was we work for Fortune 100 clients. They, mm-hmm. and just their baseline covers everything. It's like, oh my gosh.
Throw this out to other people though, because I've sometimes had, standard vendor contracts where they say you need like $10 million of insurance, and I'll say, are you kidding me? Get out of here.
No,
it's like I have my standard 1 million or 2 or whatever it is, like the baseline. And as with everything, most, you push back on something and usually mm-hmm. be like, oh, well, that's our standard. Yeah, we'll take it down to 1 million or
I've never had them say push back, right? Yeah. It's worked out really well.
I had one standard contract. I think I've talked about this before. They insisted on me carrying auto insurance, even though I lived in New York City and didn't own a car. And I was like, it's a little silly.
Anything else on the insurance front? Because it's a big expense. It's a
big business.
I pay in Minnesota. I don't know if it's because I'm an S corp, but I'm required to pay unemployment insurance.
For Chloe, for you?
Sandy, because Sandy is an employee of Presentation Whiz.
Okay.
I believe that is why. But I remember having to pay it even before I incorporated. And at that point, I would not have been allowed to use it if I ever got laid off.
you had to pay it, but you couldn't make use of it?
I couldn't use it. I think it's a little different now because I am set up and I literally have Sandy Johnson on the payroll. Mm-hmm. If she gets laid off, she'll get unemployment.
She crosses the boss.
She's, yeah. Well, actually, yeah, if you're fired, you don't get unemployment. So I can't fire her.
Okay. On the obvious side of things, just to transition, what software and subscriptions do we budget?
They just keep increasing every Dropbox, FreshBooks is what I use for invoicing. Backblaze, I got that from you, Troy. That's one of my many backups. And iCloud, got to pay for that as well. Squarespace is where I move my website to, but I still have a site, or they're still owned by Bluehost. I really have to figure that out and get rid of them. Microsoft Exchange for my email is still, I don't want to tell anybody this, but it has not increased from $4 a month in like 15 years or 10 years or what. Like, I don't know what's going on, but it's a deal. So thanks, Microsoft, on that. Zoom, of course, that's become essential. And that's all before we even get to the creative applications, right?
Oh, that's a good part. Yeah, because I was going to go down the creative app. So, you know,
let you take that.
I would say Office 365, and we have an enterprise account. So everybody has their own, you know, account. And then all of our show computers, you know, we have 30, 40 show computers that need accounts for it. Adobe Creative Cloud, there is a big one. Adobe Stock, we pay for the team. So everybody, the team stock, Adobe Teams, I don't know what it's called offhand, but it gives everybody access to the, I don't know, 1200 or so images a month. Like on TechSmith, we pay for Snagit and Camtasia. We have tons of PowerPoint add-ins, although several of them are, it's not nearly what it used to be. I mean, between BrightSlide being unbelievably free, people, free. we have all, like you said, all the file transfer accounts, Dropbox, Box, Hightail. You know, we hold a corporate account for all of them. Side tip on that, because we do own our own email, we have a central email address that everybody on our team has access to. So like if we go to Dropbox, everybody signs in not with their Dropbox, but with a core central one. That way everybody also gets the notifications when a file is uploaded. We have remote syncing software, remote access software. Oh, and we pay for Spotify subscription because music, very important to have.
It's a deduction.
We do use it, the business level one. Okay, back to reality. What standardized stuff do you have, Sandy?
Well, I was going to say you two have it covered because it's, you know, good long list, but some things you'd mentioned it earlier, Troy, but not in this group. QuickBooks Online, I pay for that subscription. I pay for Kindle, you know, when I download Kindle books, 90% of the time, they really are work books. as we were preparing for the podcast, everything like that. So there's Kindle. And then I also have a subscription to Audible. And that's more books that, for example, if there is an Audible version of a PowerPoint book, that's what I'm going to download because I prefer to listen to books than to read them.
I do iStock instead of Adobe Stock, but in addition to Unsplash a lot. And also the images, just a reminder, within Microsoft 365, it's like, I mean, I know you have an enterprise version, but even just the basic like business or family version, it's an unbelievable deal. And they've really been upping the premium contents with videos and illustrations and it's not your grandfather's clip art. and Noun Project, I think is vital for that. I also have some other, just fees and commissions and things for, like PayPal and Stripe for, selling the Better Deck and Shippo is my shipping platform, that takes a little cut, but at the end of the day I think I've talked about it before. It's just an amazing company.
Forgot about PayPal. I forgot about that.
They want you to forget. They want you to forget. They're taking money. They're
exactly. And QuickBooks takes money for that as well, because I do accept credit card payments. Mm-hmm.
That's how we do all of our credit cards through the QuickBooks scenario. And it's easy enough.
Do you add, Do you add a processing fee for credit cards?
I don't. I take it as a cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm. We have a yes and no. For some clients, it's just a no. It's a cost of doing business. Mm-hmm. But if the project's under a certain level, I believe it's $2,500 or $5,000, mm-hmm. we just accept it. If it's over, we do let them know that there's a fee in there. So
good point.
We'll tack it on. So it is a variable for us. We don't stick it on the, hey, can you do a quick update and here's how you pay for it.
I usually do, except when I forget. It's like but I do mine through FreshBooks. They'll accept credit cards as well. All right. So to run all that software, what equipment? Let's talk about that hardware and other things. Well, we can talk about Windows versus Mac. Sandy, you go first. You're Windows, right?
Okay. Yes, I'm Windows based only. I used to run a Mac with Parallels, but I have simplified it since Office 365 has come along. I have the functionality I need working on Windows, knowing that I should say I have the tools that I need working on Windows, but I also know that my clients who are on Office 365 will get the performance that I anticipate. So I'm okay with just being on PC.
And you don't really need to do a whole lot of testing on the Mac these days, right? I mean, Troy,
no, you
I'm
don't.
Sure you every once
oh,
in a while
I see what you're saying.
Something.
Yeah, every
comes
once
up,
in a while we do. Yeah, some specific elements, or if we know the client is Mac based, we'll run everything through it. But for the most part, I mean, we're like Sandy, we're totally Windows based. There are a handful of Macs and they're in the studio, which very few people go to for the past 2 years. So they've kind of sat idle more than anything. Side note, I just finished a meeting where I was using provided Macs. One set of meetings, actually, I just finished two meetings because I just got back. So the first set, I was using I was running Macs, running PowerPoint. And it just killed me that there's no QAT, and it just took so, because I was actually editing the files on it. And man, Nolan, how do you function without a QAT and all the available add-ins? And I actually couldn't get BrightSlide installed on them because
really?
I knew there was a Mac version. And so I don't know what it could have been those computers do. They were sort of locked down. What a different experience it is, though.
I'm going to push back on you there. Well, first of all, I can't imagine like using Photoshop on a PC, but I've used PCs for years. I have my primary iMac, then I've got a MacBook Air, and then I've got a PC laptop that I use fairly often for various things. But like straight design is just, I'm just so in the Mac world. But so first of all, yes.
All keyboard commands is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's where I'm going. Yeah. So I've got BrightSlide. One of the big things that's missing is grids. So I will always have to go to the PC, but that's like a one and done type thing. Just go over there, set the grids and come back. But I can't understand how you can work on PCs without keyboard commands for alignment and distribution. So I've said this before, but using the Mac OS, has a keyboard shortcut thing in the preferences where you can assign keyboard shortcuts, and I have for alignment. So I can just, without ever having to go to my QAT or, the alignment tools, I can do it all on my keyboard. And that is the thing I do most often. That zooms me through everything. And yeah, I don't do a whole lot of animation when I really have to. I'll go over to the PC, but you get comfortable with what you're comfortable with. And, I told you I was doing these video, I was preparing the sessions for the Creative Pro event, and really just showing, it was just weird. Like I was showing like how I use Icon Jar, for example, for all my icons. And it's just like click, go here, grab the icon, drag it in, boom, and it's just, it happens all so quickly with me. You get your workflows down.
It's all about workflows. Exactly. Yeah. That was the other one. The meeting I just finished, I was running Keynote on Macs, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I was in Keynote going, oh my gosh, how do I get to text align, like line yeah. spacing alignment.
Keynote's
like,
weird. I know
and I was like, oh,
Keynote's like, here are your
so
two
many,
buttons for like everything.
Oh, so many clicks to get to some things. I yeah. mean, everything is beautiful, but I just forget how many clicks or how non-streamlined of a workflow is. And that's workflow. So we're all there. What were we just saying? So, you know, we're Windows based. We do have an annual budget for computer upgrades. I mean, we actually have it as a line item in there. It's every 18 months. We pretty much plan on just replacing mm-hmm. everybody's computers because the design computers are kind of one higher level.
That's pretty often. I sort of shoot for every 3 years or so.
Yeah. Well, what we have a trickle down effect. So the designers are running, we're running these, this is a, Lenovo Legion. It has a 3070 NVIDIA 3070 or 3080 in it. You know, it's a really nice high performance computer.
Are Lenovo doing that little button thing for the mouse, or is that
no? That's IBM. That's
but I thought.
That is.
Lenovo is IBM.
Is that Lenovo? See, I use their gaming series, the Legion.
They don't have those things.
Oh, you're right. The little nubbin thing is on their business line. I bet it is.
Oh, God, I hate that thing. Right to use that?
What?
You know
purpose?
What I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, that little red thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awful.
Well, should we move back to the business side?
Sure.
Okay, let's talk about office expenses. Do you budget for office expenses?
Yeah. Well, like you, Sandy, I've got a home office. And like you, I can deduct a portion of it. Electricity, gas, water for my home, whatever the percentage is, the square footage percentage, we get to deduct a part of that. So that's freelancers know that, or they should. That's obviously a major,
absolutely
major expense on the tax return.
I my business literally pays rent to the Johnsons every year.
Okay. Well, so you're not doing it. You're not doing a home office deduction. You're doing an expense item for the business then.
Yes. Rent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what my tax accountant has
and
that's suggested.
Partly because you're an S corp and I'm an LLC.
Could be.
So it's, yeah. So I take a deduction.
Excellent. Well, another thing is, you've heard this from me before, but because I live in my office space, I'm updating it very, fairly often, you know, at least every 2 to 3 years. And so that includes furniture, construction, some decor, maybe. It's where I live. Mm-hmm. So that is an office expense. And I don't know if you would include a security system.
Oh, absolutely.
As an office mm-hmm. expense, but sure. That's on my budget. For the entire facility.
So we have a split. I have an office building that's pretty much empty, but it has a lot of stuff in storage. We keep buying stuff. I said I wasn't buying computers, but I bought a lot of other live streaming stuff and it's all stored there. But you know, we have printer toner and paper, you know, all those general office supplies. People should make a line item for those elements. It does. You know, those are elements. And in addition, they're deductible expenses. Don't just go buy them and ignore them for your taxes.
Of course.
Yeah.
That made me think of something, Troy. So you said, don't forget about them, but you pay everything on your credit card, right? I mean, my American Express card is my business card. That mm-hmm. tracks everything for me 100%. So I never forget anything. I mean, that's one way to buy things.
Well, then you got to get it from there into the QuickBooks categorization thing, so it all shows up to the accountant, which I don't know anything about because I don't deal with that. But there's a lot there.
That's why we have bookkeepers.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
have bookkeepers that do that.
You know, for us, office expenses include the actual office, which is the mortgage. And Sandy, actually, similar to what you do, we personally, Troy and Lori Collar, bought the office building and we lease it to the company, TLC Creative Services.
Okay.
So it's in our, it's in our real estate portfolio mm-hmm. for us personally. And the company's getting a great deal because we haven't raised the rent on them as opposed to, with everything going up, everything's going crazy. But, insurance, as we talked about, but the alarm on the building is absolutely there. There's
okay.
building maintenance put in there. You know, we have an AC unit. No, it wasn't the AC unit. Well, the heater and the AC are connected. And all of a sudden it stopped blowing hot air. So we had to call the air conditioning heating company out and they found whatever.
You need
part
heat in San
blown.
Diego?
Yes.
Yes.
We
did.
So we had to, but we actually have a budget item that says office maintenance. Now we haven't actually utilized it as much as we needed to in the past few years because nobody's there, but all those are budgetable items. I mean, pens, mm-hmm. you know, in addition to all the electronics, I'm trying to think of the more traditional
mundane things, paper, toner. Paper.
Exactly. Monday, exactly. Toner is expensive.
Oh my God, is toner. I just got a color laser. I finally so unhappy with printers in general. So it's like I bought this, you know, new color laser and I haven't had to replace the toner yet. But I'm, you know, looking
forward to it. Do you like it?
Well, so far I have to be honest. I printed maybe like 30 pages with it. Like since I got it, like I use it so rarely, but so far I am happy because I haven't had to reconnect it. I can print from my phone. Like it works so far.
Okay.
Just wait till your kids get a little bit older and every school project is printed because they're turning it in. You'll go through toner like crazy compared to your office needs.
The whole like inkjet thing, at least the toner lasts because with an inkjet, like you don't use it very often and then it dries out and it goes away. And then you're like, it's been a month since I printed it. And why is it empty? Like, because I just replaced it right before. So, yeah.
We got rid of inkjets several years ago. We actually carry, not here, but we have a black and white laser printer mm-hmm. that does the bulk of stuff. Yep. It's a big,
I think
it's a Canon. And then we have a color laser printer that has the scanner and everything else.
I think it's a conspiracy on the part of printer companies because I used inkjets for years and loved them. The quality was, mm-hmm. I had better luck printing than my clients who were on laser printers. In the early days of PowerPoint, where a gradient would show as hash marks on a laser. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And but I swear to you, in the last 5 years, they are forcing us to upgrade to laser printers and spend more money because these things are junk. Every new one I've purchased are junk.
We do have one laser. We have one inkjet. And it's a massive, I mean, this thing is massive.
It's a plotter.
We used to do those as well. We used to do large format.
Oh, I loved those.
They were fun. But no, mm-hmm. we have this one that's, I think Lori has it. It's under her desk, actually. But it's a photo quality, true photo quality. But I think mm-hmm. it's 7 ink colors. Mm-hmm. So when it comes off on the gloss paper, we used to do it for print proofs because it was as close as we could get to simulating it. Anyways, we do have one inkjet now that I recall it. And it just works stellar. I think it's Canon. It's a photo one. Okay. What about things that the company pays for that are typically, you know, people that don't own their own company have to pay for? Do you guys have those type of things? I'm trying to be very generalized and see where you go with those.
I think we need a disclaimer here.
probably actually. Yeah.
Stepping into this. I have a home office, like I said, so there are some shared expenses, which I'm allowed to do, but you know, certainly I deduct all my computers, which are used primarily for business. But of course, you know, when I email my mother using my computer, I'm not segmenting that out. You know, we're making an Excel sheet to compare vacations using the business thing. So, I mean, there's of course some overlap here or there as I've got kids and, you know, we're printing out Elsa, you know, coloring book pages for them to, but you know what we don't deduct, which maybe I could put in my office. My wife has a Cricut. Do you know what a Cricut is?
Is it Cricut or Cricut?
We call it a Cricut. Maybe it is Cricut. I've never heard. Well, anyway.
What is it?
It's a printer that you put different cutting heads or ink pens on, and it allows you to do these incredibly fine detailed stencils or cutouts. Mm-hmm. So she does it all the time for the kids thing. Is it Cricut?
I've heard it both ways. I don't know the answer.
We say Cricut, but she uses that all the time, and that works. That's a really cool piece of equipment. So anyway, cool. But I have no business use for that. Sandy, how about you?
Well, same as you, but I would add my mobile phone and the monthly fees mm-hmm. that go along with that, and I have a company owned car.
Okay.
The license plate even says so.
I will say to clarify, no tax mm-hmm. advice is being provided.
That's
no,
right.
No trick here.
Very good.
I don't have to make use of our business insurance after this episode.
Yeah.
please. Yeah, we can't emphasize that enough. This is just, these are a list of our business expenses.
Okay. For me, I would say several costs that the business budget covers. We do have a company vehicle. So we, Lori and I each have a vehicle that we drive. The company has always paid for one of them. And the gas and the maintenance, okay, that's kind of funny because the new vehicle is an all electric, so there is no gas expenses anymore. Cell phones, absolutely. Home office expense, like you talked about that. Portion of the home internet, obviously the, things that would normally be paid for, they're just perks and points from a, being in business. There are personal things, actually. There are perks. Like Lori and I just finished a trip in, we finished a project in Orlando, Florida, and we stayed on for a few extra days, and we went to all the Disney World properties that our feet could handle, which there is a lot of walking in, by the way, in Florida compared to California. We haven't been to a Disney property in years, so we decided to do that. But our hotel status, I mean, I acquired it from business travel, and it was really nice. We were at the Gaylord Palms down in Florida, and we got upgraded to a nice suite, and we hung around for an extra 3 days there, so that was a thing that I wasn't going to pay for, but it was nice to hang out there. Marriott
point.
Titanium Elite, which is their whatever thing, there is my Marriott Titanium Elite for life. It is a thing. So got a little card saying so. Welcome to Marriott. Anyways, airline status is same thing. We use the perks for the personal travel. On a credit card side, we have a Southwest Chase Bank Southwest points credit card for all of our business expenses. So, we collect and, we have a lot of points for travel. So, business, we use the business to help us, take care of other things, I think is an easy, simplified way of doing it. But being in business, you should find ways, talk to your responsible people that you need to talk to and make sure you take advantage of those things. The business bought all the equipment I'm using, the microphone, the headphones, all that good stuff is.
There's a lot. There's some pluses to owning your own business and working for yourself. Certainly.
It pays for all the alarm clocks I smash because I don't want to wake up. What else we got to talk about here?
Well, how about training, entertainment, those things? Are those, how do you handle those?
Because I just said I went to Disney World for 3 days.
It's been a long time since I've had an opportunity to do something like that. I think 5 years ago, I was on a business trip and I had a few hours to kill, so I took myself to a movie. a little different from you, Troy. I think that's about as much entertainment as I've expensed. Certainly meals went, out. But I buy a lot of books, and that goes under my accountant's research journals and magazines. That's his the category he likes to use. So. Yeah.
Very good. Well, so I've done some research because I know the tax laws, rules, codes, whatever changed about what was entertainment and what wasn't and how much you could deduct and all that. And in 21 and 22, you could deduct 100% of your food if you bought it in a restaurant. So you couldn't order it as bring in for your office employees to eat or a client to eat. Mm-hmm. It had to be purchased from a restaurant, like grocery store stuff doesn't count. Then it's only 50% if you do it that way. And not the bottom line is I've hardly used it in the last 2 years because we don't go out.
That's a really good point. Yeah, we used to do weekly office, well, every 2 weeks when we get everybody together, and we'd have, we'd bring in lunch and it was expensive. We just haven't used it because no one's there. So that's kind of funny. Yeah.
I think it's different when all of that is under travel. And that's how my bookkeeper noted it at one point.
Yeah, I think meals are still 50% deductible.
Yeah, let's not talk about all the, there's a lot of rationale and it's within.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Days or
I don't know. Yeah. All I know is I can source the existing tax codes, but I'm not. I don't think anybody really cares right now.
Sandy, when you took clients to the Super Bowl yesterday, did you?
Yeah, exactly. And we had the suite. Yeah. No, actually, that's not covered at all.
No, it would not be.
That is not covered
at
all.
That's a change.
Yep.
That's an unfortunate change. A lot of companies stopped having their executive suites because tax code change. So I checked on this. I did ask. We have several magazines that we get and they're all listed under our training line item. We have a few online training portals like Skillshare and the budget for those is similar. So, you know, we do pay for those. And then we also have budget for attending some industry conferences and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they go under, I like the name of your thing. Our accountant didn't set it up as, what'd you call it? Research.
Research journals and magazines.
That's a good broad one. That's a good one.
Do either of you have a line item for advertising or promotion sort of in your budgeting? I have one for advertising, and I just don't do that. So I used to put my holiday cards under that.
Okay.
This year was all digital, so it's zero this year. But I mean, a few years ago, I paid my way to a conference to sort of do some marketing and try to promote me. It was not a successful, not a good use of money. But I mean, I guess in theory, you know, website costs or marketing, but no, that goes under online and web hosting. So no, I don't really do, you know, I'm not buying Google ads or anything like that. Have you, do you do advertising? I mean, we're a word of mouth industry for the most part, right?
Yes, we are. And we're on social media, and that's a third party endorsement kind of thing. So, but yeah, the only time I ever advertised was early on in my business, and I didn't do it. Well, actually twice. I didn't do it because I wanted to get business. I did it as barter with a publishing company, and I just thought it would be fun. Okay. So I did hire an advertising colleague to create an ad for me, and he came up with my slogan, PowerPoint, period, responsibly, period.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of, it was a fun thing to do, and the ads were really great, and I know I didn't get one bit of business out of it, but it was really fun. Another time I bartered with a nonprofit who does the annual medical, it's a medical association for the country. It's called... oh God, I can't even remember. So forget that. But I bartered with a show booth so I could just show off my work. I had such a great time, and I did get business from that. People would come to the booth. I hired Lauren to be my colleague. And she was a great pitch man, but, that was another, I did it for fun, not to get business. And I just think that's a great attitude. I love it.
Nice.
So no, I don't allocate a budget for it. Long story. How about you, Troy?
I'm going to say, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, we've thought about LinkedIn and Google search placement, but we've never followed through on it. We have no industry listings, no ads, anything beyond our websites and social media activity, and we don't put that under an advertising thing. So I don't think we actually have any outreach, promotion, and advertising. I'm sure it's in our accounting as a line item, but I don't think we actually put anything towards it. Again, like you said, Nolan, word of mouth industry definitely is there, and just our other activities. People find us through the, you know, the blog and website and things like that. Mm-hmm.
That could change as we get more and more people understanding that this is a real business, and but maybe not for us.
Executive migration is way better for us. You know, work with one executive, they go to a different company, and they just kind of say, here's where you need, you know. So we haven't needed it. Not saying it's not a good idea. And I think there's a lot of, and when I go on LinkedIn, I'm really impressed by the number of presentation specialists and presentation companies that have different marketing. You know, a lot of it's content marketing, where they're making content available and you learn about them. So I guess we do that. But again, we don't line item it. Actually, hold on. Let me think about this.
Your blog is your advertising that you don't have to pay for.
Well, I mean,
you do the site.
That's what I'm trying to think of. So the staff, because I assign a lot of topics to our design team because everybody learns by doing. But that goes somewhere in the budget. I just don't know where, you know, because they have internal, they have everything has to be logged as far as time. So maybe we do, and I just don't know it. Mm. Okay, we should probably skip this one because I don't, I can't talk with authority on this.
That's okay. But, is there anything that we haven't, but is there anything we haven't covered so far?
Okay. Yeah, I do have one. Advice we were offered very early, to Lori and I, was that the business can and should pay for many of the life's needs. So your salary is for you and your future planning. In other words, don't use all of your income to buy stuff that the business can. It was a really impactful, you know, kind of a mentor type of individual that said, hey, your retirement, your future, you know, this is when, I don't even know if we had kids at the time. It's like, you need to plan your money for them, not for, you know, just that and the other. And I think that's when we kind of figured out that the business should pay for a car. It's like, don't go buy a fancy car. You know, at that time we did drive and meet clients. Who does that anymore? So I think that was, you know, really good. I don't know. I think I'm just reiterating everything we talked about. This has been a fun conversation, but other I buckets, love it. Nolan, Sandy, what do you got?
Gifts.
Oh yes.
Do you ever do client gifts?
I
used to be better about it, and I sort of slacked off in the last couple of years. It's just put a knife in the heart of that, because I don't know where to send anything. I used to, you know, occasionally send bottles of wine or things to clients at the conclusion of projects, but you just don't know where you don't know where to send it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But how about you, Sandy? Do you ever?
No, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
No, that's it. That's...
Well, a couple of things I forgot to mention that I pay. A young woman, she's been on my subcontractor list for 10 years, and she does some social media for me. Mm-hmm. And so that is an expense that I pay for. I do most of my social media, but she's really helpful in getting things out there regularly. I also budget for my annual renewal of my woman-owned business certification. Mm-hmm. And I bet you do too, Troy.
Well, it's not my women-owned business, but I work for the company that is women small business certified.
Yes.
And yeah, all the licenses and certifications, definitely, you know, business license and everything else. But yeah, I know those are in there. I don't know what those are, but yes. And that's definitely a part of being a business. Hey, I know we've kind of gone a little bit long. Let me just wrap us up and we'll jump over, do some fun pro and tech tips. If that's all good with you, can we call this one happy and done and good?
Absolutely.
What do you pay to be a presentation designer? It is a great question for those that have moved from an employee position to setting up their own design business. It's a good question for those people who are responsible for, you know, the department budget and accountability of a design department within a larger enterprise. A part of the presentation podcast tagline is real conversations about running a presentation agency. Hey, this is about as real as it gets. We just talked all about some things that are, you know, kind of those behind the scenes elements. So hopefully it's helpful. And I'm very confident that somewhere in this episode, somebody went, oh yeah, that's a good one. So thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Nolan, for sharing with everyone some of the behind the scenes business information about, well, all of our companies. I mean, definitely things I did not know about your companies, and hopefully a few things you didn't know about mine. So thank you everyone for joining us. We're going to jump over and do some pro and tech tips.
Okay, so I'll start. My pro tip. So anyone who wants to be a pro in the presentation world needs to be up on what Microsoft is delivering out there. And so Ask Microsoft Anything is going to happen on February 17th. That's
two
just
days
a
from
couple
now. No,
of
tomorrow.
Days.
Hold on. Wait. This releases on the 15th.
And okay. It's Thursday. Yeah.
It's Thursday. Okay. It's Thursday.
Okay.
It's Thursday.
It's right. Right. Yeah, it's coming up just around the corner. But co-host Troy is actually behind the scenes technology guru who's running the show, right?
It is on our VXP platform. We are hosting the whole thing on VXP. Everybody can come out and check it out, and very excited to offer that up to the Presentation Guild. And the real talent though is Nolan, who's going to be talking to
That's right. Sean. Nolan is going to lead a panel discussion for the guild, because Nolan and Troy are both guild members, with Sean Villaron. He's the vice president of product, PowerPoint, office graphics, and video at Microsoft. And then other members of the Microsoft PowerPoint team who design and program the software. And this isn't going to be a technical support session, but rather it's an extraordinary opportunity to directly ask PowerPoint programmers your burning questions.
And if you have questions, send them to me. Send them to me directly. Send them to me through Twitter. Or LinkedIn or whatever. We're going to keep promoting it this week. But we're looking for some questions in advance, in addition to taking live questions throughout.
Excellent.
It's going to be really awesome. I'm very excited about this. And
I can't
if
wait.
You're a Presentation Guild member, you get to log into the actual live meeting room, and there'll be a chat area in there for asking questions. If you're not a guild member, you get to just be the view room, but there is not a way to ask questions. So that's reserved for guild members, unless you're smart enough to take Nolan up on his thing and just get a hold of him directly. I'm assuming before the whole thing starts.
Yeah.
I've got a pro tip, and I just did this, so I'm really excited about this. So I know a lot of people that are doing meetings and you know, live streaming. They're familiar with the ATEM Mini or the ATEM Mini Pro or the ATEM Mini ISO or Pro ISO. I used an ATEM Mini Pro. So anybody that doesn't know, it's basically a switcher. You plug your computer into it or you plug cameras into it and it lets you choose up to four different devices, instantly switching between them. It has a couple other really cool features to it. I mean, this is, in my opinion, it's a miraculous piece of equipment. The low-end one costs $300. The mid-price one, the Pro, costs about $600, and they go up to maybe $1,500 for the higher-end models. But what I used it for is an instant, standalone, high-definition presentation recorder. So the meeting I just wrapped up a couple of weeks ago, they needed to have a reference because they're doing post editing on it. They're like, hey, could you record all of the slides, you know, so we can catch the timings, and could you put the audio, you know, the presenter's audio track in there so they can use this as a reference? I was like, absolutely. So I showed up with the ATEM Mini Pro and I used the HDMI out to go to the, you know, the actual live meeting screens. And then I got an audio feed from the audio guys, from the audio board, and I put that in there. And here's a really cool thing about using the ATEM Mini Pro, at least. I'm not sure about the standard Mini if it does this. Plug a USB-C based hard drive into it. There's a little button that says record. You hit record. It records everything in HD, captures all the audio because I went mic in. And I basically ended up with a nice MP4 video of the entire meeting. So they could see the duration of every slide. They could hear the audio track happening, videos that played, you know, they could hear and see everything. It is just a really, really cool piece of equipment to accomplish something beyond what you normally think of it as. So if you have to record your slides as a video, this is just another really cool option. I'll put a blog post out there. I don't know when.
Put a link in there too, because I guess first I have a question. Does it act like a dock?
No. This is only grabbing the feed from your devices and shooting it out. In this case, you could use it as a recorder. You know, it's
okay.
It's just another piece of equipment to capture videos in another way. So it's a little bit of a niche, but I'm really excited about it. It's actually now gone into our kind of standard portfolio of options because it comes up quite a bit because all these companies want to, you know, be able to capture and, you know, use these elements for social media, for post editing. And I was like, well, yeah, if we're routing everything through this little switch here, if you give me the audio from, you know, over there, I can definitely create a video. So anyways, ATEM Mini Pro can be an instant standalone. It just recorded to a little USB-C based hard drive. And the setup was basically plug everything in and hit the little red button that says record. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Very, very easy. And just stellar results. Made a little techie. But anyways, nice. Nolan, what do you got?
I've just updated the stock imagery resource guide that I have had for years. And I've also moved it. I've moved a lot of my resources from presentyourstory.com to nolanhamescreative.com. So you can get this. It's now two pages. It's been expanded from one because there's so many resources out there. Everything's hyperlinked. It's all PDF'd. So it's at nolanhamescreative.com/goodies. So that's there. You can download that. And if you see something that's missing or a bad link, let me know because I try to keep it updated. And the landscape's always changing. So that's there. And
that is very cool. It is highly, mm-hmm. We'll make sure there's
thank
a link
you for
that
doing that.
In the show notes. It is so cool.
Yeah, it's really good. There's just tons. It's all categorized by, you know, fonts and icons and imagery. And there's niche imagery. They're niche sites that keep popping up for specific mm-hmm. types of stock imagery. So it's hard to keep up, but I try to. So that's there. That's nolanhamescreative.com/goodies.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. Check us out at tlccreative.com. If you have a virtual or hybrid event that needs a place for the attendees to experience the event, check out vxpmeeting.com. And we also have the PowerPointBlog.com, still doing lots of fun stuff. Actually, in the middle of a Very Perry, the Pantone Color of the Year series, where we decided as a team we were going to redesign their four Microsoft PowerPoint template variations that were like atrocious to say they were a template. So our design team took on, we took each of the four color schemes that Pantone created, and we're designing free templates for everybody to download.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. You can find me at nolanhamescreative.com, where you can get lots of free downloads and goodies. Just look for the goodies tab, and also find out about our design and training offerings.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. And I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as at PPTWhiz.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. Also through the website, contact the show hosts with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services Incorporated, and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.